All right, it's 93.7 WEEI. Rich certainly, Ken Laird. Teddy J is going to be back with us on Monday. Looking forward to having him back. You can give us a call at 617-779-7935. That's the best way we like to talk to you. I don't look at social media during the show.
I'm not going to correct you that time. I'm just letting it go.
People did, know, did I say five?
Yes,
again?
People know it's 93.7.
Yeah, just know it's 93.7. That is really weird. That's like a strange tick. I got to go to therapy or something like that. It's very odd.
It is.
I don't know where that even comes from.
That's fine.
Well, there we
people
go.
Find us.
They'll find
or leave a take grenade.
Or there's a lot of people calling 7935. And, you know, we should just buy that number.
Probably our best
just buy
calls.
That number and loop it in there.
Yeah.
But you can give us a call at the proper number, 617-779-7937. Also, the Odyssey app is a great way to get a hold of us. You can press the little microphone button and launch a take grenade. Let's go to Steve in the truck real quick on line one. Steve, what's up, buddy? How you doing, my man?
My man, Steve.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing? How are you today?
Good, how are you?
What's up, bud?
You know, I'm good, guys. Thank you. You know what? In defense of Jason Tatum, I mean, he said it how many times, my favorite season, my favorite season, my favorite season. It's a direct slap in the face. I understand he won the Eastern Conference Finals, which I thought he deserved. I didn't really think he deserved the MVP in the finals, but that's neither here nor there. Why isn't that your favorite season? You won the championship. You won all those accolades. This is your favorite season because you were the man.
Yeah,
and you didn't have him there.
It is, Steve, and thanks for calling. It's his favorite season because it showed that he could be great without Jason Tatum. I mean, that's it.
They should guard each other one-on-one next year. Don't you want to see that? Just like isolation at both ends of the court, Tatum v. Brown.
I would love it. That would be absolutely phenomenal. Sure. Yeah, that would be great. And it would be even better if LeBron was on the other side. Like, that's going to be hysterical if he ends up. Apparently, it's going to happen right now. I'm reading actually a really cool, kind of funny thing that I guess that, you know, Rich Paul, who is the agent of LeBron James, there was a question he was asked because a report came out that any suitor that was interested in LeBron James joining their team needed to send a voice memo to him, selling him so he could listen to it later.
A take grenade.
And apparently, according to Rich Paul, he said Shams finds these things out. I did not tell him that, but he found it out, and he had the information. The guy's unbelievable. So, like, it's true. LeBron said, "You want me? You got to leave me a really nice voicemail." And can you? And Matt Jackson, I need to see if you can find this, because I guess Luke Kornet left a voicemail for LeBron James and put it on his social media, Luke Kornet, to have him come to the Spurs. And I guess it's pretty funny. I mean, obviously, he's doing it very tongue-in-cheek.
This is not a Dale Ordway bit. This is the truth.
No, this is
Luke Kornet actually left one.
He did. So Luke, and he put it on his social media, too. But you can find it. It's like Luke Kornet. I've seen it. I guess it's like 2 minutes long of him begging LeBron to play for the Spurs. But the report is that he has chosen a team, and it's not the Cavaliers. And it's for that exact reason that I don't think he is going to play for Miami. I don't think he wants to. I think he wants to beef up his resume by winning with a completely different team. You know, four teams. I'm sorry, four. He's won with three, right? Yeah,
right.
Miami,
yep.
Cleveland, L.A. Okay,
yeah.
So, yeah, four different teams. Championships for each one. And that is impressive, especially if you go to an organization that has just been snake bitten and, you know, couldn't figure out a way to win despite having loads of talent throughout since 1983. I mean, they've had different lineups that have been fantastic, and they still couldn't pull it off.
Meanwhile, Tatum's supporting cast is now Mike Conley, who's like 85, and Mitchell Robinson, who's yelling at fans already on social media. Like, this is he has got his work cut out for us in this Eastern Conference this year. My God.
Yeah, the Mitchell Robinson stuff's great because he's pissed off at some of the fans who are, you know, ripping on him. And I don't blame him. I like someone who's, not that I don't blame him, I just like someone with a personality in this locker room because it's been boring for way too long. So there we go. Now we finally got somebody who's got a little bit of pee and vinegar. They need that. Speaking of the Eastern Conference and speaking of the division, the New York Knicks have obviously, after winning, made everyone's heads explode, and everyone's doing an arms race. And I love that about the NBA, is that when a team wins, everyone tries to, you know, develop these teams that can beat that specific team. The Knicks players, I love them. I hate everything about the Knicks except for the players themselves. But there's nothing I hate more about the Knicks than the owner, James Dolan, who you've heard me say many bad things about, and it's all true. Like, he's good friends with Jeffrey Epstein. Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
It's a huge. He wrote a blues song with his blues band. I love this. A lifelong billionaire singing about the blues. What is it about billionaires starting blues bands? It's very strange. But he wrote the song called "I Should Have Known" about his friendship with Harvey Weinstein. It's just he's just an awful human being. And if you saw how he handled himself during the parade, too, just joyless. This guy, absolutely joyless. But Wired magazine did an investigation of Madison Square Garden. And apparently, once again, Madison Square Garden, owned by James Dolan, they kept a list of gay celebrities that came to games. Like, they specifically would mark which celebrities that they would give tickets to and would mark that they were, like gay. On top of that, they would have personal information that was just way over the top. As a matter of fact, here's this from the article. It says, rapper Fat Joe is a super fan, both of the New York Knicks and their owner, Jim Dolan. When the Knicks organization came under intense scrutiny over aggressive security measures for Game 3 of the NBA Finals, Fat Joe stuck up for the boss, saying that Dolan was being villainized. Within Dolan's organization, however, some have a different view than Fat Joe. An internal Madison Square Garden database of VIPs labels Joe, quote, a medium risk, one of the 400 celebrities given a risk score. The database did not provide an explicit explanation for the designation. There are 39,539 entries in this so-called talent database. About 400 of them are marked with a progressive risk score from flag to high, jeez, which can invite extra security.
What?
Yep. A source with knowledge of the matter tells Wired that Madison Square Garden security has performed a social media sweep for prominent people looking for complimentary tickets to games. Fat Joe, the source says, was flagged because of his connection to fellow NYC rapper Jadakiss, who has been critical of Dolan in the past. So this isn't for crimes. It's for speaking out against James Dolan.
Why is he tracking and categorizing people? I don't understand it. Is this like?
Oh, this is a huge thing, Ken. Like the security or like the surveillance, I should say, at MSG is like insane, and it's starting to really leak out. And yeah,
but so Ken, you know that story about there was a guy who was bringing his family to a game, and because of the facial recognition, he was asked to leave Madison Square Garden because the law firm that he worked for was suing Madison Square Garden at the time. Now, it's a massive law firm. It wasn't just like he was the guy behind it. He was just a dude who happened to work in it, and they used facial recognition, so they already had his name in this database, allegedly, and they saw it come up, and they said, sorry, you and your family have to leave. So back to the article, it says it's a really paranoid, terrible system. This is somebody who had a knowledge of the Garden security operations. The talent database also tracks some celebrities' race and sexual orientation. 93 of the entries are marked as LGBTQIA. Why Madison Square Garden felt the need to label Ricky Martin or Phoebe Bridgers or Geese's Emily Green in this way is unclear.
Yikes.
45 gigs worth of data were released by the Shiny Hunters Collective. The group, which said it was behind the hack, believed Madison Square Garden would be motivated to protect the information. Quote, yes, we thought they would pay a ransom for that reason, but they surprisingly did not. A second, far larger database released in the data dump contains the personal information of nearly 10 million people, which appears to have been pulled from the Garden's Salesforce customer management system. One of the reporters on the story said it included the database as well as Zohran Mamdani's, the mayor of New York City's, personal information. A third database marked cases reveals even more private information, including about high-ranking local officials. The database contains a request for, quote, full threat management check for Jessica Tisch, the commissioner of the New York Police Department, providing her personal phone number, email, and former home address.
Wow.
The company held on to a mountain of data that it never needed, and this company walked, these hackers walked off without it. So basically, they have got information on everybody. And you've heard about this, too, where, like, Madison Square Garden with all the facial recognition, what that can mean. I mean, Charles Oakley's not, you know, he criticized him. We've seen those videos of people going to concerts of JD in the Straight Shot saying sell the team and him like having them escorted off the premises.
But that even you can sort of understand. Okay, he's got a personal vendetta, whatever. Or, you know, it's a security thing. We have facial recognition. Like everybody's got that. You know, you and I have both been to Disney World and you got to scan your face 800 times. But when you're starting to like track gender identity and sexual orientation to what end? I just don't get that. What are you doing with that list? Why do you need to know?
The only thing I can think of is, like, you know, for guest services to just have as much information on a guest that they're bringing in so that they can,
But they're not giving it up of their own volition. Like, or maybe they are. I guess
no. They're looking at their social media. They're scouring their social media, and it has nothing to do with, like, because they want their experience to be better. It's because they want to flag people who have been critical of James Dolan. That's what it says right here.
Well, now, like, I'm going to the Sphere in November to see the Eagles. Is he going to chart me as, like, a Dolan hater? Because we've talked about him on the air. I mean, it might not let me out.
Say something really bad about him, just so I can see if he get turned away at the Eagles.
James Dolan is a horrible blues musician. He's a hack on the guitar.
I should have known. I should have known.
It's just the worst.
You suck at the pentatonic scale, Dolan.
You'll never be Booker T in the MGs or whatever. He's got a blues band. Blind Lemon Jefferson. Billionaires in blues bands. It's the best. Look at me. I got the. You know why it is? It's because blues is easy to play.
Yeah.
And you think you're good. It is. It's like a scale. Look at how talented this guy is. No, you suck. You're a billionaire who's never had the blues. Hey, you've never had to work a day in your life.
He's better than umpire Joe West.
Country Joe West had lyrics that was like, how old are you, boy? 14. And I'm not joking. Like, that was a lyric for one of his songs.
That was more country and western,
Sure. Yeah, but billionaires and blues, Dolan sucks.
And then you got this other story of the rich billionaires from Carolina that put their name on the cup. Like, these people are so bizarre. You saw that story?
No,
I didn't. They put the whole family, they put all their kids' names on the Stanley Cup. And then took up too much space. They bumped off the PR staff and all this.
They put their family on the cup?
Yes.
And, like, had nothing to do with, like, correct. They're not, like, in management or something?
The kids' names. Like,
oh, God. Dolan's the worst. All right, 617-779-7937. Every time I see a story about him, it just confirms everything I've ever felt about that guy. Worst owner in sports. You know, so we can complain about Chisholm. At least the guy's just, like, cheap.
We love
he
Chisholm.
Ain't this.
Oh,
like,
by
he's
the
not
way,
evil.
How about our guy Wick? He's, like, in second line to buy the Seahawks.
Seahawks. Yeah. Jealous for the Seahawks. Yeah, Tom Brady's favorite team. He's helping him win Super Bowls, apparently. If you didn't hear about that, let's get to that, because, you know, this is a story that needs to be discussed more than once on the show. Tom Brady, by all reports, helped the Seahawks against the Patriots in this last Super Bowl. I mean, the dude is such a great player, but everything he's done since he's left has pretty much been the act of a dick. So we'll get to that. 2 minutes to be back. Ken, this is your band, right?
Right. This is Full Metal Slipknot. Love That's these Ken. Guys.
That's you singing. That's you on the vocals, right?
Who is this? Wow. This guy sounds creepy.
It's like an evil orc.
That, my friend, is not a guy.
I did listen to your new Muse album.
It's
pretty good. The guy is heavy falsetto, which is, obviously Geddy Lee does some of that, and I don't hate it. But for a full album, it can be a little much, but it's pretty good. You're right about that, though. Good review.
Yeah. It's like super theatric, the new Muse. It's excellent. It surprises you, and there's a lot of music that's just kind of normal, but every song is somewhat surprising. So that is my geek out nerd metal album, rock metal album lately, is the new Muse one.
Well, was Arch Enemy, and that was a chick singer, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, but she's got to have an effect on her voice, right? Like, that's not really just her voice, right?
Oh, no, it's her voice. I've seen her live.
Okay, yeah, but it doesn't mean she's not being run through, like, some sort of, like, evil orc processor. There was a band we played with one time, like, back in the day, and they were called Cruciflesh. And what was great was that he had this effect on his voice, like, through his microphone that lowered his voice, like, 4 octaves. So it's like, but what was great was that it was running through the boards, so there was no way to turn it off. And so when the song was over, he was like, I like you coming out of the show. If I could get a glass of water up here on the stage, we're all kind of thirsty. We have merch on sale in the back. T-shirts, stickers, all sorts of fun stuff. The song is called Ants in My Porridge, and then they would kick in. And
pretty good imitation. Sounds like Tom Waits.
Yeah, he couldn't turn it off the entire time.
Real quick, since we're on the movie and music front, I see a headline here from AP. Christopher Nolan says he wants his fantasy action film, The Odyssey, to feel, quote, almost like a documentary, end quote. Does that worry you? That does not sound like a lot of fun. I'm going to see a documentary on the Odyssey.
No, because everything else I've read about it says that it's like a masterpiece.
It's going to be awesome, dude.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Okay, but I want to see like fantasy monsters and that sort of thing. I'm not going for a documentary on, you know, the Greek civilization from the Minoans.
No, you're gonna be satisfied.
Yeah, you can't have a documentary on monsters. Like, it's if it's fake, then it's not really a documentary.
It's a little worrisome, but all right.
Yeah, no, I'm all in. But I just know that you cannot get a ticket in IMAX right now. Like, a week out, you can't even get a ticket in IMAX to go see this thing.
Stiz got one to fall off the back of a truck somehow.
There you go. Are you going by yourself, Stiz, or are you bringing somebody?
No, me and Dan Ball. Dan Ball. Whoa. And I going on Sunday.
Oh, yep. Nice. This weekend?
Yep, Sunday.
Or next weekend? Next
Sunday
weekend
at 4
out?
O'clock, baby.
All right. Well, I need a review. I need to get a review from you without a question. I want to see that one really bad. All right. Let's get to this Brady stuff. And by the way, give us a call, 617-779-7937, because this was an interesting thing that kind of came out of nowhere. The coach of the Seahawks, he was hanging out on, was it Dan Patrick's show, I think, that he was talking to? He was talking to Dan Patrick, and so he's sitting there, he's having a conversation, and Mike McDonald is asked by Dan, I think, a very good question. And he asked him about, hey, did you have anybody help you that we would be surprised about on how to prepare for this Super Bowl? And his answer was interesting. Let's let it roll.
Who did you seek advice from going into the Super Bowl that might surprise me?
Well, I wouldn't have surprised. I called John Harbaugh and I talked. He was great. Probably can't mention one guy that really helped us out that had some conflict of interest.
can we guess?
Sure. I don't know if I'm going to tell you, but go ahead.
Bill Belichick.
I'm not that cool.
Oh, yeah.
No.
He wouldn't. No. You wouldn't have a phone call.
I've had a beer with Coach Belichick, and that was a pretty cool.
Okay. So you take that clip and you add it to the thing that Stiz apparently pissed him off pretty bad a couple of months ago, and that was the story that, you know, Seahawks coach Mike McDonald got a text from Tom Brady afterwards congratulating him on the big win. Also, add that to I don't have a dog in this fight when Tom Brady was asked about who's going to win the Super Bowl, which, by the way, nobody.
Listen, I don't have a dog in the fight. Mm.
Oh, jeez. I just want to see a good game. Nobody would have held it against him at all if he would have said, yeah, dude, I play for the Patriots. Of course I want the Patriots to win. And for him, it all makes sense. Tom Brady obviously helped Mike McDonald prepare against the Patriots. There's not even a question. And could that information be valuable? Absolutely, because nobody knew the Josh McDaniels offense better than Tom Brady. The information would absolutely be something that they could use and maybe helped the Seahawks. But to say that that's the reason that the Patriots lost is insanity.
Okay.
It's insane.
But did you see what Stiz just shared?
No. Tell me what Stiz
from some
shared.
Random on Twitter, I think.
Well, then it must be important.
Scout D NFL on Twitter. This got me to thinking. Remember when Devon Witherspoon said the Seahawks picked up a tell from the Patriots offensive line and knew what was coming? Now add in the fact that Brady spent years with McDaniels, probably knew a ton about how McDaniels builds and calls an offense.
That Ooh. Was a true thing, Ken. You remember that?
Oh,
at
I
the
definitely
time,
yes,
right?
I definitely remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I mean, so Witherspoon definitely said that. I mean, that's a bit of a leap, I guess, to say that Brady was on there telling him about, you know, O-line calls and tells, and it's still sour grapes, even if he did. But it makes you think, Rich. It does.
But Tom Brady didn't make Will Campbell a sieve.
Well, and somehow they survived pretty well through the first three rounds of the playoffs against some good pass rushers.
He didn't make Drake May just obviously there's injuries that are involved there too. Like Drake May was awful, and it
he was.
And I don't think a lot of that had to do with them knowing the plays. It probably didn't help. But I mean, the dude, like he was
under
his
pressure.
Arm was awful.
No, I mean, but he was pressured 11 times, sacked 6. I mean, that could swing a game. If all those were the fault of the other team knowing your calls, then that would explain everything. I don't think that's the case, but the pressure was the biggest issue, and that would be where you would look to see if Brady had some sort of tell, you know, that he let them know. But that would be super devious. I find that hard to believe. I do believe that they talked at some level, and that's devious enough, just like, you know, advice for us playing this team. You know, even if Brady never played for the Patriots and you talked to an announcer who had covered a team for 10 games or something like that, that would be kind of shady.
I think Tom absolutely wanted the Patriots to lose. I think he's that competitive. He was pissed off the way that things ended here, and he is one of those guys that – and it made him great. It's one of the things that made him great is that he does not let grudges go, and he can, you know, on the surface, pretend that he likes the Patriots, but he won't even in public say that he would pick them in the Super Bowl.
You won't
he
catch
hates
me dead living in the Northeast.
There it is. I would not be caught dead living in the Northeast. I think that he absolutely helped them out. Now, you can believe two things. You can believe that, number one, no matter how much he helped out, the Patriots still would have lost. And you can also believe that Brady's a total dick and a traitor for doing what he did. Like, I mean, absolutely. Like, if you're sitting there looking at Tom Brady with these Patriot-colored goggles thinking that, oh, he lives and dies for this team. No. David Ortiz lives and dies for the Red Sox. Paul Pierce lives and dies for the Celtics. Brady don't give a blank about the New England Patriots.
But a texter brought this up earlier. Why take it out on the fans? If you've got a beef with Mr. Kraft, then okay. Why? You know,
that's not about the fans. You're taking it out on the Krafts. Are you really think he's thinking about the fans there?
Well,
no.
He should. I mean, God, he's adored when he comes back here for the statue celebration for the Brady night. They sold the place out.
And I said this again. That was more about ownership. That was more about the Krafts trying to whitewash the past and make you forget that they were the reason that Tom Brady was no longer here. Because you could say it was Bill, but ultimately the Krafts had to okay everything, and they had to make the decision, and they wouldn't give him the Drew Brees $25 million a year deal. Think about how insanely low that is now. $25 million a year they wouldn't give him for 2 years. The, hey, have a nice retirement, retire a Patriot, go out there and crush it, and he is still bitter about that. No. And that part I don't blame him, but man, it is a dick move if you helped them and you gave them the Josh McDaniels tells. You can have both. Well, they would have lost anyway, but that was a dick move. And you know what? The more, Ken, I hate to say this, the more that you say the Patriots fans are out on them, I don't think you could ever be out, but you can understand that now that he's gone, he ain't the same Brady. He's not.
You almost said I was right. I almost heard you say I was right.
I didn't say you were right. I said you're on to something.
but this has been piling up for years, and it's like every little bit of evidence sways another Pats fan, right? It does. It just wears on you. It's like, yeah, I remember the good old days. Yes, you brought us six. And obviously, we just praised Brady yesterday. He was talking about how much he loved the comeback win over Seattle in 2014 and what that meant to him, and he was going out. He still loves his teammates he played with and the defense, and like, he said a lot of cool things there, but he just something. And he was supposed to be Mr. Four Agreements, not hold a grudge. That was one of his, like, calling cards.
It doesn't piss me off because I knew what he was when he left. Like, he showed us who he was. He doesn't care about the Patriots. He doesn't. He'll be Captain Patriot when he gets back here. It doesn't mean you can't appreciate who he was. It doesn't mean that you can't say, man, I'm so glad we got to watch this guy, and I'm so glad that the Patriots have these championships because of him. But the minute he left, he was a dick. I mean, you could say he was – somebody said it best earlier. He was a dick the entire time, but he was our dick. Like, he was a guy that we all, like, rallied behind. Like, all right, great. But since he left, he doesn't care.
You think Kraft would – to me. Do you think this – like,
oh, what's that, Stiz? What's that, Stiz?
I said, nope, you're dead to me now. That's it.
But do you think Robert Kraft, when he's asked about this, because he does talk, he's one of those owners that does talk every so often. I'm sure somebody will bring this up to him. Do you think Kraft would ever rip him?
No, he's like a son of a
Well, not anymore.
Well, yeah, and remember, at the Comedy Central roast, remember, Rich, like, the one real moment that happened was when the comedian made a joke about Kraft, and Tom, like, got up and was like, don't you ever, you know, don't you say that.
Uh-oh, that wasn't real.
I don't
Come
know.
On.
Rich,
you think Brady really got up?
Yes,
I told you that was off limits.
I sent you the clips of the other comedians there being like, yo, that was a real moment. Like, Tom was legit pissed.
I don't believe that for a second. I think that was once again all show.
Stiz, like, McGregor and Holloway almost fought at the announcement,
oh, I'm
too.
Pumped
I don't know
for
if
this.
You saw that.
I am pumped for this. Yeah, wow. I cannot wait.
Seemed
Take
like a real
money.
Fight there,
it was,
huh?
Yeah, boy, it almost went off.
I can't think that Patriots fans are pissed. Because, I mean, it's a horrible thing for him to do. It was horrible. And Brady, like, should have never helped out the coach of the Seattle Seahawks against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. He shouldn't have done it. But are you surprised? You shouldn't be. You shouldn't be. The guy has shown you who he is. He's shown you who he is. You can love him for when he was here and think he's a dink after he left. 617-779-7935. We'll take your calls right after this. 2 minutes, we'll be back. Actually, no, we'll be back in just a minute. No, I want you to drop what we're playing right now and play that song. I want to know what something new around the corner is.
Nash Casino. Can we go back to the Nash Casino ad, please?
No, I'm joking. This band Wand is pretty great. All right, 617-779-7937. It is Rich, Ken, and our buddy Ted Johnson. He'll be back here on Monday. And you can give us a call at 617-779-7937 like John in the car did. John, what's happened to my man?
I'm trying to wrap my head around what Ken doesn't want to see and does want to see in the Odyssey. Can you repeat what you don't want it to be, please?
So he said it's going to be a documentary. So he wants, I mean, he wants like legitimate facts, start to finish. I wanted him to not to be fantastical and fun. That's all.
So there's a real documentary about a woman with a head full of snakes.
Well, okay. Was the Trojan War legit? Like, did they actually wheel the thing up and jump out and surprise? You know, there are some factual.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, people weren't
that
very
debatable.
Back then. They brought a 4 million foot horse and said, "Don't look inside." Oh.
Okay.
And, so, and then we're going to write a movie about it.
I want to see the snakes. Give me the Medusa head. I hope.
Ken, we'll go together. How about that?
Oh,
we'll,
I love it.
It'll be fun. Absolutely. I'll buy the popcorn.
Thank
Great.
You, John. Thank you.
How much money do you think Robert Kraft had to give Brady to go to the statue night?
Yes.
It must have been 7 figures minimum to make him swallow that crap sandwich of having to be a Patriot for life. This man owns the Raiders after he asked for ownership of the Patriots, the small piece that Bob Kraft's other son, which basically built this team, wasn't allowed to buy. And then 2 years later, the no good SOB goes and sells 7% to some private equity group. Are you telling me Tom Brady couldn't go out and get 7% mm-hmm. of a bunch of people that would buy the Patriots? They were worth $5 billion, for crying out loud. And people want to know why Tom Brady has had it up to his eyeballs with Bob Kraft. My favorite of all time was when he came back from Tampa and Kraft is running around the place with his dick in his hand, wondering why he isn't meeting him off the 50-yard line to kiss his feet. I am so done with Robert Kraft and his nonsense about the chivalry, about his fan first. When I sat in just Schaefer Stadium in section 228, oh wait, enough! Enough! You're a fraud! I saw you at the Knicks game with everybody else. You're a fraud. You are nothing more than a fraud. I've had it with them. I can't wait till it's over. I'm begging that the kid isn't as bad, but I'm afraid he's worse. Spend some money on some players, and then we'll have a conversation about what you think you're entitled to.
Oh, John, I want you to call back when the Christian Gonzalez situation is settled.
Oh, boy.
Because then we'll find out. Because, listen, I think the Crafts are fantastic owners. They are. They're great owners. Now, obviously, you're exactly right, John, with the whole statue situation. I said that from the beginning, that the fact that they'd have to pay Tom Brady, allegedly, to go to this thing, it was way more about Kraft trying to whitewash history and say, I never let that guy never, I wasn't the reason that the guy left. He loves it here. He loves me.
By the way, that's not been confirmed, right? Everybody just assumes that's the case.
No, but I do absolutely, oh, what do you mean? That they got paid?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's speculation. Absolutely. And from what we're hearing, it's from good sources that that's what happened.
Bedard.
From very good sources. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that it has been absolutely confirmed. You're right about that. But there is no question that that whole ceremony was all about the Crafts trying to make you forget that they're the reason Tom Brady left.
And it worked. I mean, I was a sucker for it. I mean, just to see that crowd, I mean, the ovation for Bill. What really is bizarre to me, though, Brady has to know this was driven by Belichick. Belichick wanted to move on, right? He thought they'd be better with a younger quarterback, and the money could be stick. He could win with an average QB, as was reported in that book, was always his belief. But yet he's made amends with Bill, but Kraft, he just won't forgive.
Well, I mean, how much amends has he made? Like, what has he done?
He talks about it all the time, even like recently, like as of a day ago or 2 days ago, he was talking about how great Bill is. And
But that's different. That's different than, like, if put it this way, if Bill Belichick was in a Super Bowl, and the opposing coach called Tom Brady and said, "Can you give me some intel?" Brady would have helped him too. I think Brady is just that competitive. I think that he holds grudges. But ultimately, it was Kraft's fault that Brady's not here anymore. Because Kraft could have told Belichick to go screw. He could have said, no, you figure out a way. You guys are going to work together. If really Brady was like a son, then you'd keep him around. And whatever you say, whether you think it was the right idea or it was the wrong idea, Brady will always blame Kraft, Robert Kraft, for him no longer being a member of the Patriots. So that's why this story did not surprise me. That because he doesn't get over things. Most people, like, you know, a couple years later, you know, my old thing would be, dude, I proved to the world, I won a Super Bowl immediately when I left, that I'm great, and I'm the reason this team's great now, blah, 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 blah. But with him, he's just that guy. He's so effing competitive that he doesn't want the Patriots to ever win again with him not here. Like, I will do whatever it takes.
Do you think that's part of it? It's a jealousy of Drake? It's a jealousy of, you know, success without him?
He is not jealous. He just wants, everyone who harmed him in any sort of way to pay. And I believe that he still
holds it against Belichick.
But there's never been a situation like this where he could do something against Bill Belichick.
Well, start calling up Duke. I don't know. You know,
Bill's doing a good enough job ruining his reputation on his own.
Bill's doing a fair point.
Well, maybe he was the one who hooked Jordan up. Maybe, like, Brady, she's an op. Like, she's like,
it could be.
She's an op for Tom Brady to just ruin everything about
Double
Bill.
Double agent Brady. The Red Sox, by the way, have just landed at LaGuardia.
Oh, how funny.
Per Ian Brown.
That's funny.
And first pitch, 2.5 hours away.
It'll take him an hour to get there. So they're probably going to have, like, what, 2 hours to get everything all set. Yeah, they'll be fine. I just can't
Are the Boston Red Sox?
Yes.
I don't think that's Jackson's finest work right there. I mean, let's see, we've gone from Hey Hooters to the Carmen Jackson.
I thought that was perfectly fine.
It was fine, but we had a high standard going there.
I love when Rich called the other night when we were all out. Rich goes, yeah, you know, the Hey Hooters was Jackson's Hey Jude.
It really was.
That made me laugh that, like, all night.
Can I just hear, like, 10 seconds of that song? It's Friday. I need a little something.
This will be the night you go. I mean, yeah, you're getting ready to...
I'll do it live. Hey Hooters.
No, it's not as good live.
It's got to have the full band in the
full
background.
Full production, yeah.
All right. Well, I guess the Hey Hooters isn't ready to go.
Oh, it didn't transfer over with the new studio.
Yeah, no. It decided not to come over.
Don't say
as long
we lost
as eventually
it.
We'll get it. We can't lose it forever.
Right. If that Peter Jackson recreate this someday for Apple.
I think we just lost Rich.
We just lost Rich. What's one of those days?
Did you lose me?
Oh, there you go. There you back.
Oh, I don't know what happened there. All right. 617-779-7937. We will take your calls. Also, there's some more funny Jaylen Brown stuff that's going around. There's now not even a question as to whether Jaylen Brown's pissed at Jason Tatum. He made it clear yesterday. He made it abundantly clear yesterday. He is not happy, and Jason Tatum still has not said a word. And we're on LeBron watch because from what we have heard, LeBron has chosen a team. It has just not been announced yet, and it is not the Cleveland Cavaliers, according to Mr. Windhorse. So we'll get to all that right after this. It's 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. We are live from the Ketchus Law Studios. No fee unless you win. Oh, the sweet sounds of Hank Williams III. Grandson of Hank Williams. Son of the Monday Night Football guy.
Yeah, my dad loved Hank Sr. My God, how many trips taken with a cassette tape in listening to Hank Sr.?
Well, this dude right here, Hank III, like, so he knew where his money was at, and he ended up starting a band, and if you listen to some of his music, he sounds just like his grandfather. It's like, and I remember first time I ever saw him live, he did that for about like an hour, and then he goes, all right, guys, now we're going to go backstage for about 5 minutes. We come back out. If you came here for the country stuff, it might get a little loud, so I apologize. So we'll see in just a few. And he comes out, and all of a sudden the cowboy hats are off, the hair is down to their ass, and they play the heaviest music I have ever heard in my life. It was like Slayer, and these dudes in like cowboy hats in the audience are looking at each other, and one dude pushes another one, and all of a sudden it's all these guys like in a mosh pit in these cowboy hats. And Hank III's the best, and so like I liked him so much I like begged the next time he was in town for our band to open for him, and we got to. And I remember at the end of the show, you know, he finished the show and he got so like into it, he started punching his Marshall cabinet, and he kept hitting it so hard that all of a sudden you see him jerk his hand back, And he ran off stage and kind of said goodbye. And we were back there, and it was a towel that was entirely soaked in blood.
Oh, man, like Jackson.
He had sliced his hand open, and I guess not much longer after that, he had an intervention with Waylon Jennings and, like, a couple of other, like, big-name country guys who were alive at the time. And they were like, dude, you have a drug problem. And he was like, you guys had to go through your demons. I got to go through mine. But he's just the best. Hank Williams III. That song we just played right there, he uses a shotgun as an instrument in it.
He's still active?
Yeah, he is. And he's still alive. But, I mean, the dude is – he's just the best. If you ever get a chance to see the guy, you know, he's a true talent, but he absolutely hated his dad.
He's a less hardcore G.G. Allin, I would say.
Well, you would like this, Jackson. He was in a band with Phil Anselmo of Pantera.
That's why I know him.
Yep, Super Joint Ritual, which is an awful band. Like, the band was not good. Hank the Third was great. Pantera was great. Super Joint Ritual, not good.
My friend pooped himself in the Super Joint Ritual mosh pit.
What is the deal with people pooping at concerts now? Noah Kahan made a speech from stage, because I guess that's a new thing, is that people will get to a concert early and they'll wear diapers. And they'll go to the front because they don't want to lose their spot, and they'll just go to the bathroom in their adult diaper, and this is girls too, like while watching these concerts. And I guess at a Noah Kahan show, it went viral that somebody found some stuff on the floor, and he had to beg the crowd at Fenway, don't crap yourself.
I know the guy who started that trend. I swear to God, his name's Richard Christie, and he wore a diaper to a Coheed and Cambria show so he wouldn't miss any of the show.
Well, there you go. How about the Odyssey, Rich? You can wear one for that so you don't miss 3 hours. I mean,
have you ever worn a diaper to a concert? He's doing it again. It's the Ken Laird pivot. If you've ever worn a diaper to a concert, 617-779-7937.
Yeah, that wasn't a pivot of sports. It was an Odyssey reference. But by the way, if you hold a grudge against Belgium, they're down 2-1, just to keep you updated. Spain has taken the lead in the 90th minute. So Belgium seems to be on the ropes.
When does Norwegian Gronk play again? Do we know? Is that tomorrow?
Good question.
That's the only team I care about now.
I am not sure. I'll find that out for you.
All right, Norwegian Gronk.
Tomorrow, 5 o'clock.
Tomorrow, okay. Everyone should be rooting for Norway. He is he's the best. You should never root for France. I'm not going to root for England because I liked Scotland when they were here too much, and they hate England. So God bless them. And Argentina's won enough, or at least Messi's won enough. So go, Mr. Holland, the Gronk of Norway. Love the hell out of that dude.
Erling Haaland. Oh, and real quick, Noah Kahan, night 3 of 4 tonight. Right, they had Drake May in attendance for the first one. Big Poppy for the second. Is this like a theme? There'll be some brewing of note tonight?
Maybe. It'll probably be like Char or somebody like that. Do you think that, because I saw the video of when it was Drake, they're basically just doing a cameo, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're not on the phone. It's like, hey, it's Drake. No, I hope you have a great show. It's great.
No.
And then it's just like, it's over with. Yeah. And I'm like, All right, this isn't that impressive. It's a take grenade.
Yeah.
I think U2 actually used to call the president, and it was live, like before.
Awesome.
Like, I think they did that in concert, and now it's just like, hey, it's Big Poppy, hey. We like the
Red He had
Sox.
No idea who Noah Kahan was. He was like, Poppy, please film this.
Right, I'll take the check. Yeah, right. Yeah, he has no, like, he's listening to Stick Season.
Right.
By the way, speaking of Fenway Park, this is interesting. I saw Tom Caron tweet this out. So the Red Sox have nearly tripled their odds of making the playoffs over the last month.
Yep.
If you take a look back to June 19th, which is about as bad as places that they could be. Like, I remember that just being as awful as it could be. They were at 11.2% of making the playoffs. And this isn't a bad American League. On June 26th, they were at 12.1%. July 3rd, they were at 15%. And today, as it stands, the Red Sox have a 30.6% chance of making the playoffs.
I remember June 18th was the day game they lost to Toronto. They blew that game. Sonny Gray was good, but they blew it, and like a misplay in the ninth. It was a totally low moment. For the three-game series, they were like 1-for-19 with runners in scoring position. Remember, we were ripping them for that, and it was said they were 14 games under. So it makes total sense. In 1 month, less than a month, they've tripled their playoff odds. Crazy.
Isn't it? Like, there's very few teams that are over 500 in the American League. I saw that, like, today, that there was some sort of stat that I think, like, there's only like a handful of teams that are over. Like, there's a lot of bad teams, obviously, in the American League, and that's what keeps these guys in it. But obviously, it's a shock.
Yankees and Rays, White Sox and Cleveland, who you just played the White Sox, and the only other team right now one game over is Texas. That's it.
Jeez, man, that's crazy. But the good news is you just named the Yankees and the White Sox. You know, these are teams that the Red Sox are beating. They're beating good teams. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the good part of it. They're actually beating good teams. And I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again today. Chad Tracy, it's time to start recognizing him. It's time to start looking at what he's done and go, you know what? This dude obviously has a way with these players because they're not very talented right now. They got injuries all over the place, and they haven't given up.
What will it take for you to give Breslow any shred of credit? Because I feel like you're hesitant on him. I'm going to try to pivot away from Tracy, because I do agree he's done a great job. I just generally feel like managers have such a limited impact on things. In this case, you're making a good point. I mean, he's stabilized what was a very turbulent time.
Yeah.
But would you ever give Breslow the credit and the faith that he's going to continue to build on what he's done here and has earned himself to keep the job?
Not until I see how this team finishes, because he still, no matter what, has committed the ultimate sin, and that he didn't get a big bat in the middle of the lineup. I mean, everyone knew they needed that, and he didn't do that.
Not Caleb Durbin?
Well, Caleb Durbin, I give Lorenzo all the credit in the world. Lorenzo's
right.
The guy who came in there.
Yeah.
It's a batting coach. You know what? It's going to take more of a sample size for me to give it to Breslow, but I do know that Chad Tracy got thrown into the fire, and I'm seeing these guys not turning on each other. I'm seeing them improve. Like, I mean, think about how many players individually have improved since Chad Tracy has shown up. Mm-hmm. They're a better team than they were under Cora. Not a very large sample size this season out of Cora, but it's now facts. This team is better. Like, their record's better. Their percentage of wins is better. Each player is playing better.
Just a better lineup approach. It's like top to bottom is just an intangible of, like, they're taking more pitches, working pitches, bunts. They're more, they just seem more engaged. It was just so horrible. Not walking.
Yeah.
You're right there. But it still is built on pitching and defense. They have, in their last 13 here, where they've won 11 of 13, 11 quality starts, MLB best 2.82 ERA. Defense was outstanding yesterday. They only scored 2 runs and they won. So that's still the hallmark of it. And that still makes you question the future, because this lineup, I mean, where Contreras is suspended now and they've got Brett Harris at first.
Yeah.
They need some help still.
Yep, they do. But they're playing smart baseball now, where they weren't earlier in the season. They got each other's backs. The way Tracy talks about his guys, even when there's stuff, like, even when times are bad, he lets good stuff get. He protects his guys. He knows these young players. I'm impressed, man.
Now the airport, the airplane sucks.
Yeah,
fix that. They're by the way, latest update is they're stuck at LaGuardia. They're waiting for transportation over to Citi Field.
Why are they flying Delta? Like, don't they have their own plane?
Well, it's a Delta charter, so I'm sure it's like Cotillo said when he joined us. They have the same crew. It's the same people, but for some reason, there's no priority. They fly out of public airports and have no priority. I mean, you would think they go out of Hanscom or something like that.
Oh, come on, John Henry. Let's pony up some cash. All right, 617-779-7937. Top tier Terp, our own Justin Turpin. He is right now out in Las Vegas. He has been at Hakkasan all night. And at 54, the world's largest dispensary out there. And he's feeling himself. But we are going to have him on in 2 minutes to talk not only about what's happening out there with the Celtics, but also everything with the Jaylen Brown situation. We will talk to him 2 minutes. We're not going anywhere. He'll be right back with us.